Now we're holding on Pei Zion Omud Bey's six lines from the end of the five lines from the end of the narrow line. Yeah, six lines from the end of the narrow lines. We learned yesterday, we started learning about the din that you have to allow a worker to eat on the job. The Torah tells us, Psukim, ki sove b'cherem re'echa, ki sove b'komas re'echa, when you come into your fellow Yid's vineyard or his standing grain, then you're allowed to eat some of it. We discussed that that means a worker, and we're going to learn how that is, how we know that that means specifically a worker. Anyway, we said in the Mishnah rules that a worker, the basic rule is that the worker can eat when he's harvesting the, when he's harvesting the ground, when he's harvesting something from the ground, and it's gemar malacha of that, so for example, harvesting grain or grapes or whatever, or where it's something that's already previously been harvested, and it's not yet, and it's not yet nigmar malachtoi. It still has work to be done to be chayav in Meisur and Salah. On the other hand, if it's something that never grows from the ground in the first place, or if it's something that, that nigra malachta already, then he doesn't get to eat from it. So we're holding six lines from the bottom of the from the end of the narrow lines on Pezayin Amud Beis. And so now the Gemara had gone through how we know that this applies to all different kinds of crops. So we said, first we said that, we wanted to learn from Kerem, but we said that no, a Kerem, a vineyard, has something unique to it. It has the mitzvah of Ovalus that applies to it. So that doesn't work. Then we tried saying that, okay, so maybe we learn from a tzad hashaveh between it and grain. And we said that doesn't work either. Then we're only going to include things that are used for the mizbeach. So ultimately what we said was we learned like this. Because the pasuk mentions chermish, which means a sickle, that means anything that's harvested with a sickle is included. So that includes not only grain, but also, for example, various kinds of beans, where challah doesn't apply to them, and they're not brought on the mizbeach, but nevertheless, they're still harvested with a sickle. We also have the word koma, which means anything that stands. So between the two of them, we said we're able to learn anything that stands, anything that grows from the ground, basically. So now the Gemara says, "V'hashtid nafkalam mechermish amikama." Once we've learned now from the combination of the word chermish and kama, that chermish includes beans, and kama includes anything else that stands. Why does the pasuk even need to say when you come into your fellow Yid's vineyard? Why bother mentioning the vineyard at all? And the answer is, "Amar Rava lehochoysav." So Rava says, because there we're not learning from it the what species it belongs to. You're right, that we can learn from the other pasuk. Rather, we learn the various individual dinim that apply to this mitzvah that you have to allow the worker to eat on the job. The Tanya, as we learn in a braisa. First of all, kisavai, when the pasuk says, when you come in, what does that mean? Elsewhere, you have the expression when you have a worker, you have to pay him on the day, you have to pay him during the daytime or during the nighttime after he finished working. We're going to have those dinim in detail later on in the ninth parak. And the pasuk says, the sun should not set on him before you pay him. So you have the word sava in both places. So we have a zera shava, malahama b'poyla kosamadaba, just like over there. It's talking about a worker. Afkan b'poyla kosamadaba, the same thing the pasuk here is also talking about a worker. So you shouldn't think it means kisava b'cherem re'echa. You stand, wander into somebody else's vineyard and you're allowed to pick grapes. No, it means specifically when you have a worker who's hired to do the work over there. So that's the first thing. So that's what we learn from Kisava. Right? Next, the Braisa continues, Bekerem Re'echa, when the Pasuk says that you come into your fellow Yid's vineyard, that means Veloy Bekerem Kusi, as opposed to in the vineyard of a Goy. If you're working for a Goy, not only you can eat on the job, but you would actually be able to like this. When the pasuk says by the worker, you're not allowed to take any of the grapes and put them into your vessels to take home. You can only eat whatever you can right there on the spot. But when it comes to the vineyard of a goy, you don't have that restriction, and you are in fact allowed to take some to eat at home. So that's what we learned from that. From the word bekerem, we learn that from the word bekerem re'echa. So, on the other hand, the Ritval learns the opposite. He has a slightly different gusa in the Gemara over here, and he learns that it means the other way around. This heter, to eat on the job, only applies when you're working for a yid, not when you're working for a goy. So the Gemara interjects, Hanichal amando amar gezel kusi oser. This that was saying that the Torah is telling you that that you're not allowed to take extra to take home with you, that would work out according to the opinion. We learned in Baba Kama, we had a machlokas whether you have the opinion, and this is the halacha, you're not allowed to steal from a goy. So now you're saying, so now you're saying you shouldn't be, that this is an exception and it's not considered stealing and you're allowed to take some home. So therefore the Torah would need to tell you that. But according to the opinion there in Baba Kama, that to begin with, the gezel of a goy is mutter. So if you're allowed to even take gezel from him, how much more so that as a worker you'd be able to take a little bit extra, you'd be able to take some extra, not just to eat on the job, but to eat at home. So why would the pasuk even need to tell us that? And again, according to the ritva, you'd have a bit of a different gusa over here, in any case, that would be the question. The fact is, we have that machlokas whether gezel goy osur or mutter. We discussed it in Baba Kama. We're also going to discuss that point. We're going to discuss that point later on in the ninth perek. We just had in this past week's parasha in Parshas Bahar, we had when it talks over there about an Eved Ivri who sold to a goy, who sells himself to a goy, even though he wasn't supposed to, that we said you have a responsibility to redeem, his relatives have a responsibility to redeem him, and you have to figure out the amount fairly with the goy and not say, listen, you goy are under our control. After all, you would have had to let him go in Yovel. Therefore, we can make you do whatever we want. I mean, we can make you give him away without paying you the full value. No, we said you can't do that in Mechil Hashem. So that was the opinion that said that Gezel Goy Osir brought based on that pasuk, and that is in fact the halacha. Tosfos points out in that connection over here that when there's Chilul Hashem, then for sure you're not allowed to. Everybody would agree you're not allowed to. The question is when there might not be Chilul Hashem involved, as in this case over here, where the goyish owner of the vineyard is not necessarily going to know that you took a few extra home. So again, if you say Gezel Kosi is also, then the Torah is saying this is an exception. But if you say Gezel Goy Mutter, then Pasuk wouldn't even have to tell you. And the answer is Mukim Lab, Kerem Re'echa, V'loy Shal Hekla. You're right. According to that opinion, the word Re'echa in the pasuk wouldn't be to exclude a goy, but rather to exclude Hekdish. That you can't, you wouldn't be allowed to eat from grapes that, if you're working on a vineyard that belongs to Hekdish, you wouldn't be allowed to eat grapes over there because they belong to Hekdish. So you learn that din from the Kerem, so one way or the other, you learn a din from the Kerem Re'echa. Next, the pasuk continues with achalta. You can eat that wheat. From that we learn v'lo moitzit. You're not allowed to, for example, just suck out the juice, the grape juice from the grapes, and then throw away the grapes. If you're going to take them on the job, you have to actually eat them. Anovim, when it says that you can eat grapes, means v'lo anovim. But davar acher, you can't combine the grapes with something else. For example, Rashi says you might want to dip the grapes in salt in order to stimulate your appetite. So you're going to want to eat more of them. You can't do that. The pasuk says kinnatshecha. Maybe what I should have done actually before we started this drasha, I should have quoted the pasuk in full. The pasuk in full goes ki sove b'cherem re'echa. You come into your fellow yid's vineyard. Ve'achalta anovim kinnatshecha savecha. You can eat grapes as much as you want until you're full. Ve'alkel yecholay sitem, but you can't put it into your kaven. So now again, the Gemara is doubting this phrase by phrase. So kinnatshecha, when it says you can eat as much as you want, that means kinnefesh shabalabayis kachnatshecha shapoyel. The nafshah literally means your soul, so it means the nefesh, the soul of the balabais, is the same as the soul of the desire of the worker. Man nafshah uchal potter, you yourself would be able to eat at that point, and you'd be potter from taking meiser, because it's not nigmar malachta, because ordinarily when you're harvesting grapes, you're going to want to press them into wine, and so therefore they're not chayiv in truma and meiser yet until that point is reached. So just like you're allowed to eat, and you potter from mice, or ach nafshesh or poil, oichol potter. The same way when the worker is eating here on the job, he's also potter from mice at this point. When the Torah is saying that he's allowed to eat, means he doesn't have to take mice from it first, because it's not gemar malacha yet, and we're going to discuss in the next piece over here, that until you have Gemara Malacha and certain other things, then the produce is not yet chayiv in Truma and Maisus. The pasuk continues sub echa, that you eat as much as you fill, means halo yachil agasa, not that you overeat. Tosfos points out that otherwise, if it hadn't been for this drasha, you would have said that when it said before achila, you would have said v'achalta, that you can't suck out the grape, the juice. You would say no. It means that you can't overeat. You can't overeat, and then you'd be allowed to drink just the juice. Now that it says sovecha, then therefore, so really, in other words, it's not so much. In other words, Tosfos is pointing out elsewhere the Gemara says achila gasa loishma achila. When a person overeats, when a person eats, when he's already full and can't stand any food anymore, then that's not really considered eating in halacha anyway. So the point of this drasha is not so much to tell us that he can't eat at that point, but rather to clarify, to make available for us the drasha earlier, that eating means specifically eating and not drinking and not sucking the juice out of the grapes. Anyway, so we learn that. And then when it said, when the pasuk finishes off, they'll tell you, chaloi sitin, you can't put it into your kelim, that implies the shoshat and noisim, the kelim, shabala bais, only at the time when you're putting the produce into the owner's kelim, namely when you're harvesting it on his behalf, and the point is, it's gemar malacha, but mechob alakarka. Till now it was attached to the ground, now you're picking them and putting them into his kelim, and now that's it, nothing more needs to be done with them in connection with the ground. After oichol, that's when you're allowed to eat. Of a shashi after noisim, the kelim shabala bias, when you're not. Meaning, for example, he might have hired you just to weed around the plants or hoe around them or whatever. It's not gemar malacha yet; they're still attached to the ground. Iyata oichol. Then the pasuk is implying at that point you're not allowed to eat from them because it's not gemar malacha. So in short, Rava is saying that all of these details in the pasuk are needed to teach us various din. The second pasuk then tells us that it applies to all, based on the words chermesh and koma in it, that it applies to all different kinds of produce. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring a discussion about the dinim of meiser, which then we're going to relate back to what we just said over here, that the worker is allowed to eat without taking meiser. So it's like this. In order for something to be chayav and meiser, you really have to have, two things. You have to have this gemar malacha, you have to have that reach a certain stage in its processing where it's completed, as we're going to discuss. And you also have to have, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that it has to come into the house or into the chotzer. You actually have several other things as well. You actually have several other things that are described in Mishnayos, in Masechta Maisris, that also make it that food is now kavur lemaiser, and you can't eat up to a certain point. You can eat a snack from it without to eat achilas keva from it, to actually eat it as regular food. That no matter what, you can't until you take truma and maiser. But when you want to eat a snack from it, then you have. So when it comes into the house after gemar malacha, as we're going to see, or into the chotzer after gemar malacha, as the case may be, according to the different opinions that we're going to talk about, then at that point it becomes chayiv and meiser, and you can't even eat a snack. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yana, ena tevel mischayiv meiser ad shigira pnei abayis. Tevel does not become chayiv in meiser, and most mafoshim say we're talking about all meiseris, although the Oruch says, and the Chassam Sofer brings it, that maybe we're only talking about specifically meiser shein. Maybe the other kinds of maisers, it would be chayav than even before this point that we're going to say over here. Anyway, Rabbi Yana says, ad shiyira pnei abayis, until the produce sees the front of the house, meaning that it actually comes in through, it's actually brought into the house through the front door, and not, it actually points out. Now, for example, you might conceivably bring it in through the roof, or you might conceivably bring it in through the back entrance, through a karpif, an open space behind the house. That wouldn't yet make a chayiv and maiser, even though it's already had gemar malacha. Elsewhere, in fact, the Gemara says that we learned in Gittin most recently, for example, that the Doris of the Shonim, the earlier generations, were careful about that. They dafka wanted to make their produce chayiv and truma and maiser as soon as possible so that they could have the mitzvah, and therefore they would do that. They'd bring it into the front of the house, as opposed to the Doris Achronim, the later generations started playing games with that and bringing it into Gagas for Carpathus so that they'd be able to eat a snack from it so that without taking maiser. Anyway. So Rav Yana says it has to actually come in through the front of the house after Gemar Malacha in order to be Chayiv and Meiser. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, the out Yakodesh min abayis, the Pasuk says, I, whereby new Mysteris, by the mitzvah of making sure you've taken care and given out all your Mysteris at certain times during the Shemitah cycle, the Pasuk says, you then say, the out Yakodesh min abayis, I have removed all the holy thing from the house, so only when it comes into the house, only then is it chai. So Rabbi Yochanan says you don't need dafka the house, even if you bring it into the chotzer, then already it's kaveya for meiser and you can't eat a snack from it until you take meiser. Shenema, because the pasuk says v'ochol b'sharecha b'saveyu, the pasuk says about the Levi, the ger, etc., that you give them their meiser oni and they eat it in your gates and they're satisfied. So as soon as it comes into the gate of the chotzer, then you're already chayav. Tosfos actually points out there are a number of Mishnayos that talk about once it comes into the chotzer, then already it's chayev. So how is Rav Yana going to disagree with that? So first Tosfos talks about, for example, you could have, for example, let's say you have a tree growing in the chotzer or leaning into the chotzer, then you don't need the chotzer at all, then already they're chayiv and maiser until you bring them into the house. So some of those Mishnayos could be talking about cases like that where you brought it from outside the chotzer into the chotzer. But then Tosfos says that no, Rav Yana will agree it works with Drabbanon. He were talking about a Doraisa level. So the Gemara asks Rav Yochanan Nami Hoksib Min Abayis, what is Rav Yochanan doing with the pasuk that mentions the house in this connection? The answer is Amalach Achotzer Drumya De Bayis. Rabbi Yochanan is going to answer you that the pasuk is mentioning bias to tell you that the chotzer we're talking about has to be similar to a house in the sense that Ma Bayis Hamishtamer Achotzer Hamishtameres. Just like a house is only Mechayev and Meiser only when it's a guarded place, and a house. Pretty much by definition, is a guarded place. You close your door and lock your door when you're leaving your house. A chotzer, a mishtameres, the same way the chotzer is only one that's mishtameres, similar kind of thing where you have a lock on it or there's a mishnah. And the Sefer Maisus actually that talks about the details. Is it, what kind of chotzer is it? Things that we can keep, so different opinions of Tanoim over there. A chotzer where you can keep things safely, a chotzer that has a lock, a chotzer where if somebody goes in there and he's not a member of the family, you can ask him what are you doing over here, or whatever the case. So the point is that it's similar to a house in that regard. If you didn't have the word bias, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, then you wouldn't know. Then you would think any kind of chotzer as long as it's enclosed by walls is enough to be kaveya for maaser. Okay, but Rabbi Yana Nami Hoksib Bisharacha, what is Rabbi Yana doing with the pasuk about the gates? The answer is Ahom Ribayla Dima'ayla Derech Shal. He would say because that means that at least in that Torah, you're chayev only when you bring it in through the front door of the house, la'apuki, derech gagas v'karpefes, whereas we just said, if you bring it in through the roof or through the carpet or behind the house, deloy, where there it's not yet chayev and meiser, and you can still eat achilas arai, a snack from that. So in fact, the Rashba points out, Rabbi Yochanan is going to agree with that din as well. It is mentioned in various places in Shas. It's mentioned in Mishnayos. Rabbi Yochanan is not going to disagree with that. But okay, maybe Rabbi Yochanan says you can learn both things from the word b'sharecha. That means if it comes in to the gate of the chotzer, as well as when it comes in the front door of the house, then it's chayiv and meiser, as opposed to if you were to bring it in through the carpet or whatever, then it would be Potter from Meiser. So now Rav Chanina Chozah says, I have a contradiction on both of them from what we just said before about the worker eating on the job. We said that when the Pasuk says that you can eat grapes, kinafshecha, as much as you want, and we said, we learned from that, means tach nafshesh opoil, means just like your own desire, as much as you could eat grapes from your own vineyard, as much as you want, the same way your worker can. And we learned from that, that there's a similarity, man nafshecha oifel potter, just like you yourself would be able to eat from it, and you'd be potter from man, you'd be potter from miser. The same way your worker, when he's allowed to eat on the job, is also allowed to eat without taking meiser. Now, the implication is, Now, the implication would seem to be, had you sold those grapes to somebody else, then that would be considered, then that would make it chayev and meiser. Mekach, selling produce is in fact one of the, there are six things officially that make peiros chayev and meiser. Once one of them was done and it's brought into the house, one of them is, one of them is bringing them into the chotzer, as Rabbi Yochanan had said. It's actually a machlok, because we're showing him whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yana or Rabbi Yochanan, but the accepted halacha among the within that opinion, within that machlok, so we're showing him is that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, that the chotzer is kaveya as well. Anyway. So, but we have also selling, and there's also several other things that can make it chayiv and meiser. So the implication would be that if you had sold it to him, then he would be chayiv, only because the Torah is giving it to him for free, is he potter. Now, my la basada. Shouldn't we assume we're talking about when the worker is working in the field? So in other words, so even though it hasn't been roya pnei bias yet, it hasn't been brought into the house or into the chotzer yet, nevertheless, the implication seems to be that if you sold it to him, then that would be, so Rashi points out, selling it is not any stronger than Gemar Malach. You still have, the fact is, these grapes are not yet finished their processing because they have yet to be pressed into wine, and nevertheless, we still seem to be saying that at that point, that once you sell them, they'd immediately be chayev and meiser, even before you brought them into the house, or even before you brought them into, or even before you brought them into the chotzer. Tosfos actually asks some questions on Rashi's explanation and says that you would be talking about rather, let's say, Safan. You're talking about it is Dovash and Nigmo Malach de la Maisa. It is something where it's already been, the processing of it has already been completed, and at that point, selling it would make it chayel. The point is, in other words, either way, the question would be that it hasn't been brought into the house, or it hasn't been brought into the chotzer, so according to neither of Yanai or of Yechanan, even though Gemar Malacha is taking place, and now you sold it, it should be potter, so why are you saying, it's chayav? Again, according to Rashi, the point is that the question is before Gemar Malacha that the selling should already make it chayav. According to Tosfos, the question is that only after Gemar Malacha it should make it chayav. But either way, the point is Rabbi Yanai or Rabbi Yochanan are saying they need to come into the house or into the chotzer, respectively, and it seems to be not so. Marsha defends Rashi and says that after all, the Gemara is assuming that when the Balabas himself picks the grapes or whatever kind of fruit we're talking about might be considered the equivalent of, would be considered the equivalent of Gemar Malacha. And therefore that, yeah, you could say that maybe already there really is Gemar Malacha at this point and then it should be chayiv and meiser. And yet we're saying it's not because we seem to be implying that at that point it would be chayiv and meiser, whereas the point of Yana and Rabbi Yochanan it shouldn't be yet. The answer is, Amar Papa, so the Papa says, no, you don't have to be talking about where the worker is working out in the field. Rather, you could be talking about over here, for example, a fig tree that stands in the garden outside the house, and we're talking about where the branches of the tree hang over into the chotzer. So now, it's already in the chotzer. So now the fruit grows into the chotzer. As soon as you pick it, then it's already in the chotzer, and therefore it would be chayev. Tosfos points out a couple of things on it. First of all, Tosfos points out, now they hold, Rashi and Tosfos hold, throughout Shas, that midaraisa, only grain, grapes, and olives are chayev and meiser, and truma and meiser. So according to them, when we say over here a fig tree, we don't mean specifically, we're trying to talk over here on a daraisa level, so we'd have to mean some other kind of tree. Midarabanan, figs are chayev and meiser. According to the Rambam, to begin with, all kinds of fruits are chayiv and meiser, so according to him, we could be talking about an actual fig tree. Anyway, Tosfos also says that, again, since the worker can only eat the shas malacha, then he can't be talking about, for example, that he picked it in the garden and now is walking with it into the house, because then he wouldn't be able to eat from it anyway at that point. What about if it's standing in the chotzer itself? Tosfos points out that maybe according to everybody it would be chayev in meiser right away, and we can't even, and then, and you don't even have to bring it in, and you don't even have to bring it into the house. But on the other hand, maybe not. Maybe it would still be chayiv only to gmar malacha, but it's not that common for a tree to be growing in the chotzer. According to Rav Yanai, what are you going to have? The branches are sticking out into the house, etc. So actually, the Rashba brings from the Ravid just that, the Ritva rather brings from the Ravid just that, that maybe in fact we could be talking about a scenario, according to Rav Yanai, where the branches actually hang over into the house. Whereas according to Rav Yochanan, we'd have to be talking about where yeah, also actually it is the Rashba. The Rashba points out in the name of the Ravid that first he says Yesh Mishapeirash. Some people want to explain that we're talking about the trunk actually grows through the gate, so it actually came into the gate of the Chotzer, and then he brings from the Ravid that it wouldn't matter. That either way, it's only when it grows outside the Chotzer, similar to what Tosfos is saying, then it needs to be brought through the gate, but otherwise not. So if it grows in the chotzer itself, the Tosfos points out that's uncommon, it would be chayev right away. If it grows outside the chotzer and the branches hang over, then, like you're saying, as soon as you pick the fruit, it's going to be inside the chotzer, and therefore, according to Rav Yanai, according to Rav Yochanan, it would be chayev and meiser. As far as Rav Yanai, he would say it has to actually be brought into the house. So the Papa is saying that the point is you're picking from this tree, and right away it sees the chotzer. So therefore, ulamanda amal abayis labayis. And according to Rav Yanai, who says that it has to be in the house, then it would mean that it grows into the house. So either way, then in other words, so the worker is able to eat, even though. So now the pasuk is saying that the worker is able to eat, even though under normal circumstances it would already have been nikba lemaiser, because you don't have gmar malacha, because there's still more processing that has to be done. Well, the Gemara asks you, "Hachi bala bayis nami nechayev?" Then why are you saying that the worker is potter from meiser because the owner is potter? In that case, actually, the owner himself ought to be chayev as well in the first place, because you have it came into the house of the chotzer, and there is gmar malacha. So he should be chayev. Why we're saying the owner is potter, and therefore from kenaf shachol we're learning that the worker is potter, but actually we should say to begin with the owner is chayev in that kind of case. The answer is balabais ain't a betei nosay, because as far as the balabais is concerned, the main thing is he doesn't care so much about the branches; he cares more about the actual tree itself, which is located outside the chotzer. So until all the fruit is brought in, then until he finishes picking all the fruit and brings it in, as far as he's concerned, it's not gmar malach. Lekeach ain't a b'mekachai. On the other hand, when you sell it to somebody, he cares more about what he's buying. He cares as soon as fruit is picked and you sell it to him, then already it comes into the house or the chotzer, then it becomes chayev and meiser. So now what we're saying is, the worker, in effect, is considered like a buyer, because we're saying that we would think rather he's considered like a buyer, the owner, after all, is giving him of his fruit to eat, and being the kind of the mitzvah of that, of allowing him to do that. So therefore, you would think, though, that the worker should be considered like a buyer, and he should be chayev any time he picks them, he should be chayev and meiser. So therefore the pasuk is telling us with the word kinafshecha that not so. The fact is he's potter just as much as the owner, as long as the owner is potter, the worker is also potter. And since the owner is potter until all of it has been brought into the house up until that point, if not gemar malacha, then therefore the worker is potter, therefore the worker is potter as well. Tosfos discusses certain details about that you have Mishnayos in Maisris that talk about how many you're allowed to eat at a time before it becomes a kavius and you're chayev. So you have that to take into consideration as well over here. Where maybe there it's talking about where you're picking all the fruit versus here you're talking about where you're picking only some of it. In any case, the point is, so that's why we need the word kenafshecha. There can be a case where the owner, there can be a case, in order not to contradict Rav Yana and Rav Yechanan, you have a case where it should be chayev and meiser right away, because it came into the house or came into the chotzer, and the worker is picking it right there. However, the owner is still potter from meiser at that point, because as far as he's concerned, gmar malacha is not done until the entire tree is picked. Therefore, the pasuk is telling us the worker also has the same heter to eat on the job without taking mice. Well, the Gemara asks, "Well, a keach midaraisa mi mechayev." We have to ask anyway. All this time, we're assuming because of a keach is chayev. Therefore, the pasuk needs to tell us that a worker is potter, that he's not considered a lekeach to that extent. Is a lekeach is somebody who buys food even chayev midaraisa in a Torah? About Tanya, we learn in a different braisa. Why were the stores and the marketplaces of Beis Hinu, it's the name of a place, destroyed 3 years before those of Yerushalayim, so 3 years before the Churban? Because they set their words according to the Torah. Meaning, in other words, they had, the Torah tells us by a drasha that something is mutter. The Chachamim said that thing is usur, and nevertheless they said, you know what, we don't care what the Chachamim say, we know what the drasha and the Torah says, and therefore we're going to follow it. And then they're not supposed to do that. They still have to listen to what the Chachamim say. Therefore, because of that, their stores and their marketplaces were destroyed a few years before the Churban. There's an interesting explanation in that. There's a very famous Taz that says that when you have something that the Torah explicitly says is mutter, the Chachamim do not have the power to answer it. The Taz mentions this concept. And that comes up in various, the Achronim discuss various applications of it. So these people of Beis Hinu, we're not talking, they weren't Amar Aret, they were talking about Chachamim, they figured the same thing over here. If the Torah is implying that something is mutter, then the Chachamim don't have the power to answer it. Their mistake was that the Taz's rule applies only when something explicitly says in the Torah. Here it's not explicit, it's only a drasha, and yes, therefore the Chachamim have the ability to ask. So what is it? Anyway, getting back to the Gemara, show your Omrim, they were saying, when the Pasuk is Aser to Aser for Achalta, you should take Maiser from your produce, and then you eat it. So we learn from that. V'loy Mosher, that teaches us that if you're selling your produce, you're not Chayev in Truma and Maiser, because you're selling it, and then you're not going to be eating it. Tvuas Zarecha, and when the Pasuk says, the produce of what you planted, V'loy Lakeach, that implies that the Lakeach would be Potter. So they argued, therefore, that we shouldn't have to take Truma and Meiser from what we're buying and selling, and therefore we're saying in the end their stores were destroyed because of that. The point being, in other words, that the Pasuk is saying fairly clearly but at least we have a drasha. It is a valid drasha, just that we're going against what the Chachamim said later on, that you don't follow that drasha, but rather say that these things are also until you take Meiser. So we see from that if you buy, you are potter from Meiser. So how can we be saying before in the Sugya that if you buy, you chayev in Meiser in HaTorah? There is, by the way, a major machloikas Rishonim when we're saying you have this drasha over here, and it is a valid drasha of when exactly that alakeach is going to be potter. Tosfos has a long discussion about it. About is that always the case? Is there maybe a difference between when you buy it before miruach or after? You know, when it comes to grain, you have the process. When is it gemar malacha of grain? Is after you've threshed and winnowed and everything and gotten a pile of clean grain, you smooth out the sides of the pile. That's miruach at that point, because is when it's gemar malacha. So Tosfos says here you're talking about you bought it after that point. You bought it before that point. Then you would in fact be chayev in my Simen HaTorah. Then that's pointed up in time. Then Tosfos brings from Reb Yitzchok, but Reb Mordechai, who says the other way around. If you buy it before Miruach, then you potter. But if you buy it after Miruach, then you chayev. So you have that. Those are two different opinions. And there are other opinions of Rishonim. There are other opinions of Rishonim. The Rambam holds it's only when to begin with the seller did miruach, and at that time he planned to sell it. But if he planned to eat it, and later on he changed his mind and decided to sell it, then it would be chayiv already. So that's a kind of a hybrid between Rabbi Tam and Rabbi Yitzchok, Rabbi Mordechai's opinion. And then you have the Ravid says that he's going to be potter regardless. So you have several different opinions of Rishonim under what circumstances a lekeach is potter. But in any case, there definitely is a case where even though he bought it, it's still potter on a daraisa level. So how are we saying then before that it would be chayav midaraisa? The Torah is telling you that the worker nevertheless is not considered a lekeach. He's considered like the balabais, and therefore he's allowed to eat. So what answers you're right. Elabidir abonim. Rather, the concept that the worker was going to be potter from Meiser at that point is Drabbanan. In other words, Daraisa, anybody would be potter at that point. Because Daraisa, whether you're a worker or whether you're a buyer, you would be potter at that point. Drabbanan, a worker, is going to be potter. The Chachamim just said, a buyer is going to be chayev midrabbanan. The Chachamim are then saying that the worker is not considered for that purpose. Like a buyer, we're going to continue considering him like the balabais, and we have the posit kenafshecha as an asmach. Well, if it's only an asmach, that means it must be there for an actual drosha. So, elo kenafshecha lamai also. So what's the actual drosha that we're learning from it? And the answer is l'chadetanya, as far as what we learn in a braisa. When the pasuk says kinafshecha means like this, ma nafshecha im chasamta potter. Now it's like this. We're going to start talking about soon in the Gemara. We're going to talk about, besides for the mitzvah to allow a worker to eat on the job, where you have there's only a mitzvah essay involved. There's a mitzvah essay that the worker is allowed to eat, and implicitly that means you, the balabais, have a mitzvah essay to allow him to do that. Now we also have later on in Parshas Tisetse, you have a mitzvah like sachsam shor b'dishoy, when an ox is threshing your grain or doing other work for you, you're not allowed to muzzle the ox. You also have to allow it to eat on the job. So now though, like this. So if you muzzle the animal while it's working, then you're oivran aloisaseh, and in fact the person will be chayav malchus for that. But when we look from the word kenafshecha, we learn like this: man nafshecha in chasamta potter. If you hold yourself back from eating, and chasamta could be whether you decided on your own that you're not going to, whether you literally put a muzzle on your mouth, whether it's a, whatever it is, you're going to be potter because it's a, you're not chayav to eat. You the owner are not chayav to eat on the job. You're just allowed to. Af poilam chasamta potter. The same way, if you are choisim, if you force the worker to not eat, whether Rashi says, you might be, for example, that you told him, I'm going to pay you extra if you don't. You might be, for example, that you physically put a muzzle on him or whatever. So potter, then you potter from malchus. So you potter from the lav of lois tachsa. Now the fact is, the Ritva points out, he is going to be over on an essay, and he may well have to pay the worker for the amount that he could have eaten. We're going to learn later on in the parak that you have dinim in that connection. So there may be dinim that he may actually be chayev to pay him later on, and he may be over on an essay. Even some foshim say, maybe even he would be over on a lois essay, but he wouldn't be getting malchus for it at any rate. Anyway. So that's what we're learning from the word kenafshecha, af poilim chasamta potter. If you do muzzle him, whether verbally or physically or whatever it is, then you're potter, you're not over on the lav of loisachsam shor b'dishoy, and you're not getting malchus for it. So that's what we're learning from the word kenafshecha. Okay. The Gemara says, here's another point. Now, so getting back to Rav Yanai and Rav Yochanan, about when produce becomes chayev and meiser, we said according to Rav Yanai only when it comes into the house, and according to Rav Yochanan only when it comes into the chotzer. So Mazutra says, I have another contradiction on that. A Mishnah says in the Sechta Meisers, now again, we have to consider that you have to have Gmar Malacha, yeah, in order for produce to be chayiv and Meiser, you have to have Gmar Malacha, you have to have that the processing of it has been completed. Certain kinds of fruits, you make a goven out of them, meaning, in other words, that you do, you store them away long term. You have certain kinds of fruits where you don't. You have to use them fairly soon, or they're going to spoil, or in the case of grapes or olives, let's say you press them and make juice out of them. But then you have certain kinds of, besides for grain, you have certain other things that you can store away more longer term, and that's called a goven. So the Mishnah says, Ezo Gonan, Lemaisris, what is considered the Gonan as far as certain kinds of produce, as far as now the Chayiv and Meiser? So examples are Tishurim and Dluim. What are you talking about? Tishurim and Dluim. Tishurim are something like are cucumbers or some related plant. Dluim are gourds or pumpkins or something like that. Mishi Pokesu, so then the Chayiv and Meiser. From when you pokesu, what does that mean? V'amar Rabami, mishinato pikas shalahem, means once the pikas, the flower at the top of them is taken off. When you want to store away these kishurim or dvurim for a while, then you have this flower that grows on the top of it, and you remove that to, which is where, after all, the fruits develop from the fruits develop from the flower, and then you have the petals or whatever of the flower are left over afterwards, so you take that off. The Rambam has a bit of a different definition. It means that you have, they come with a fine hair that grows all over them, and you remove that for storage. In any case, so my love, Mishi Pokesu Afu Basada. Doesn't that mean that when you do that, even out in the field, it's already going to be chayiv and maisu, even before you brought it into the house or into the chotzer? So the Gemara says, "Long Mishi Pokesu Mabayis." No, it can mean that you did it only when you brought it into the house. Now, before we couldn't use that answer because we needed to find a time when the worker was allowed to eat from it, and he can only eat from it while he's working in the place of the malacha. Therefore, we had to have the whole case over there of the tree that grows into the chotzer or into the house, and the worker is picking from it over here. Now we're not dealing with that. Now we can say that you're because now we're not dealing with the dinim of the worker eating. Now we're just saying when it's chayiv and maaser. So we can be talking about that Mishi Pokesu Babayis, even if you brought them into the house with the flower or with the fine hair still on them, you're still allowed to eat from them even after they came into the house, because you still need Mishi Pokesu, you still need that Gemar Malacha to be done for them. And before that, they're not Chayev and Maisel. Tosfos actually, points out a distinction that, for example, elsewhere, the Gemara says that, yeah, if you bring in grain together and you haven't threshed it yet, then it's potter from Maisa when you bring it into the house. But the difference is that you usually, those kinds of things, you usually bring them in without the stubble and whatever that's attached to them. You usually thresh them first, so therefore it remains potter forever, even when Gemar Malach. Here, on the other hand, we're talking about these cucumbers and whatever. It is often the case that you bring them in with the flower or with the hair on it, and then afterwards you take that off. So therefore, once you do that inside the house, then they're going to be chayiv and maaser. Anyway, Tosfos also says that you can't say that this is talking about midirabbanan, because again, even midirabbanan, gemar malacha by itself is not going to be enough until you have chotzer or house or as the case may be. So we're saying that Mishib Kokesu doesn't mean that you did that out in the field and already then it becomes chayiv and maaser. No, it means that you brought them into the house with the flower or with the hair on them, and afterwards you removed it. Then we're saying that at that point it becomes chayiv and maaser. So I'm going to ask the Hachi Mishib Kokesu, then why is the Mishnah saying from when you take off the pikos, adji proksum, adji pokesum, then the Mishnah should be using the expression until you do, because the Mishib Kokesu means as soon as you remove it, it's chayiv and maaser. But here we're saying, on the contrary, adji pokesu, that even after they came into the house, where normally they would be chayiv, they're potter until you take off the pikos. Okay, so the Gemara says, no, you can't do that. Itona ad shipokesu, because if you use that wording, haba amina, ad de gomel epikusayim, then you would think you only chayev once you finish taking off the pikus of all of them. Kamash malon, mishipokesu, mitki aschul epikusayu, as soon as you start that process. So you brought in 10 cucumbers, and you removed the pickles from one of them. At that point, all 10 of them become chayiv and maaser. 9 of them still have the flowers or the fine hair on them. Doesn't matter. The fact is that once you started, then already that's gemar malacha for all of them. So therefore, that's why the Mishnah had to use the word mishi pokesu to imply that point, but not to say that they would be chayiv already out in the field. In fact, they're going to be chayiv only when you bring them into the house, and whether you did the pikus in the field or whether you're going to do it in the house, only after. So if you bring them, so in other words, it's going to have to be, in order for them to be chayiv and maisi, you're going to need both. You're going to need that you at least began the pikus and that they're in the house. So whichever order you did them in, whether you brought them in, whether you took off the pikus in the field and then brought them into the house, or whether you brought them into the house and then started to take off the pikus, either way, only then is it going to be chayiv and maaser. Okay, so no contradiction on Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yechonon, because we're talking about over there, it is in fact the house or the chotzer is one of the stages that's required for it to be chayiv and maaser, but in addition, you also need gemar malach. Okay, the Gemara says, Mosiv Mazutra Breidr of Nachman. Here's another contradiction that Mazutra Breidr of Nachman pointed out. We learn in a Breisa, Gurner Lemeiser, when we say that you have fruit has reached this produce has reached the stage of golden, where it's ready to be stored away longer term, as far as meiser, l'chayev olav shem tevel, where at that point you chayev for eating it as tevel without taking truma and meiser, is only mishut gomer melachton. That takes place only when the processing of them is finished. Veizel ma melachton, what is considered the end of their melacha, melachas haknasasam. That means when you bring them in. Now bring them into where? My lab haknasasa nafil basada. On the face of it, that means gathering haknasa. The word haknasa can have two different meanings. It can mean gathering together. The word you have in Lashon Kodesh, you have the word kinus, which means gathering together. When we have, for example, kinus hashlochim, is a gathering of shlochim. So it doesn't mean bringing in; it means gathering. So then, on the face of it, when we say haknasasan, means gathering them together to make a pile of them or something. So then, at that point, they become chayiv and meiser, even before they came into the house or the chotzer. So the Gemara says, no, haknasasan abayis zog ma'amalachan. No, the word haknasasan is not maloshin kinus; it's maloshin knisa, coming in, and only when they're coming into the house are they chayiv. The boisema, or another answer, you could say, kika omer Rabbi Yanai, when Rabbi Yanai is saying that they're chayiv only when they come into the house, or Rabbi Yochanan is saying in the chotzer, v'zeisim v'amnovim delav ne'gurdenin. They're talking, for example, strictly about grapes or olives. Well, you don't make a gurdon for them. You don't store grapes or olives long term; they're going to spoil. So those kinds of things, you press right away, and therefore, So Rabbi Yanai, in other words, what are you talking about? Tosfos says, if you're planning to eat them, then as soon as you bring them into the house, then already they're chayav, because then you're not making a gurdon out of them. You're not storing them longer term. But as opposed to grain, you don't normally eat raw grain, so therefore you're only going to be chayav, you're not going to eat it while it's still in the stalks, therefore you're going to be chayav in maisa only after meruach, only after you make a pile of clean grain and smooth it out. But anyway, so Rabbi Yanai would say, that when it comes to grapes and olives, as soon as you bring them into the house, then right away they become chayiv and meiser, because it's not a matter of making a gurdon out of them. It's not a matter of doing some processing to them to keep them long term for storage, because you're not going to. You're going to eat them shortly afterwards. Otherwise, they're going to spoil. I suppose you could say when it comes to grapes, conceivably you could make them into raisins. Maybe if you're planning to make them into raisins, maybe then in fact it wouldn't be gmar melacha yet. I don't know about that. Anyway, avo chitin the sa'urin, but wheat and barley, where you usually make a gurdon out of them, you usually keep them longer term. So then gurdon behed yuksid day, here the pasuk specifically mentions gurdon in connection with meiser, in connection with trumas meiser actually. So until you reach the stage of gurdon, then they're potter. And in the case of grain, that means where you reach the stage of miruach, where you now have a pile of clean grain and you smooth out the sides. Now you do have, Rashi points out, there is a Gemara elsewhere that says that you're allowed to bring, in your grain still with the straw and everything mixed in with it and eat from it. Even though you bring it into your house, so Rashi says Rabbi Yanai would be disagreeing with that, because, Rabbi Yanai would be saying that once you bring it into the house, then once you make a gurdon of it, it is going to be chayiv and meiser, as opposed to a point of Oshia, it would remain potter even after that. Again, Tosfos disagrees with that point and says that no, even after you, that the difference is that wheat and barley, you usually bring them in without all the straw and everything attached. So therefore it would be potter forever, even if later gmar melacha, as opposed to when you bring it in, when it's already clean, like Rabbi Yanai is saying, then it's going to be chayav. Okay, fine. So far, so good. So we've deflected all of the objections that we had against Rabbi Yanai and Rabbi Yochanan. We're showing that, yes, what you have is you need gmar melacha, as well as you need your Ries Pnei Abayis or Ries Pnei Achotzer, that the produce is brought into the house or into the chotzer in the normal way, and that combination of things makes it chayav and meiser. Okay. So the Gemara says, Ashkechon Ot. Now let's get back to the matter of the worker eating on the job. And again, remember, we have a mitzvah over here to allow the worker to eat on the job. We also have a mitzvah that you allow an animal to eat on the job, loisachsim shorbedisho. So the Gemara says, Ashkon odem b'mechuber b'shorbetolish. So far, what we have is, in the psukim, we find that a person who's working on something attached to the ground is allowed to eat from it. So the pasuk is describing when you come into your fellow yid's vineyard or or into a standing grain in his vineyard. You're allowed to eat the grapes, and in the standing grain, you're allowed to pick ears of grain. You're allowed to pick stalks of grain and eat them. So we see that when he's working on something that's mechobel karka, then he's allowed to eat. As far as a shur, it says lasasim shur b'dishoy, that you're not allowed to muzzle it while it's threshing the grain, where threshing is already after it's been picked. So shur b'tolosh. Odin b'tolosh menolon. So let's first work out how we know. Now the Mishnah had told us that a person is allowed to eat also from tolosh, also from something that was already previously picked, and is not yet nigmur malachoy. So where do we know that from? So for example, Rashi had given an example on the Mishnah. Let's say we're talking about grain. There comes a point, as we just said, when it's chayiv and meiser, but because the five grains also have an additional point when there's still going to be, there comes a point till the chayiv and chala, until you make dough out of them. And up until that point, the worker would be allowed to eat. So how do we know that? So the Gemara says, kavachoymer mishur. Well, we can make a kavachoymer from the case of the ox. A shur where we don't know yet from the Torah, we don't mean that a shur can't eat from a chover. We haven't yet found something in the pasuk that says that a shur can eat from a chover. And yet the shur can eat from what was already harvested. Odim shu oichol b'machover. So a person who we clearly see in the pasuk is allowed to eat from something that's attached to the ground. And again, shu oichol b'tolosh, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that he'd be allowed to eat from something that's already picked from the ground? So the Gemara says, no, that's not a proof. Malashur, on the contrary, malashur, shekainat mitzvah achasi moser. No, because you have a stronger thing with a shur. As we just said, there's a mitzvah like saxon shur b'dishoy. You're not allowed to muzzle the ox while it's threshing the grain. So you could say, because of that, therefore, maybe the Torah allows that the animal should eat from tolosh. How does that prove with a person, where we just said before you could be choisim him, because we said kanashapa, just like you're allowed to prevent yourself from eating the same way you're allowed to prevent the worker from eating, at least to the extent that you're not going to be chayav malchus for it. So therefore, so how can you do such a kavachim? Well, the Gemara says, well, let's figure that out itself. Well, maybe let's say exactly that, that if you do muzzle the worker, whether verbally or physically, then you're going to be chayav by a kavachomer from shur. After all, a shur, you have no mitzvah to keep it alive. But you're told not to muzzle it. Fellow yid, you have a mitzvah to help him keep him alive. Last week's parasha, how much more so you should be commanded not to muzzle him. So now maybe we should say, Taka, if you muzzle a person, a worker, then you are over on the mitzvah, and you are maybe even chayav malchus. The portion discussed, by the way, I mean, we usually say, ein oinshin min adin, you can't punish somebody based on a kavachomer. So how is Gemara entertaining the possibility over here that we can learn a mitzvah of chasima by a person from a kavachomer? So there's a couple of possibilities that one possibility of Mishnah Melech gives an answer that when you have the issu already, then the kavachomer can teach us that there is a punishment. In other words, you can't use a kavachomer to teach us an issu and then give malchus for it. But if you know the issu already from someplace else, then you can use a kavachomer to say that there should be a punishment, and maybe that would apply over here. And then a different mafurish on the Rambam, the Shara Melech, says that maybe even you would say, because the Gemara wants to find that there's a loises there. So fine, we're not saying that there should be malchus maybe, but why aren't we saying that you're over on a loises? Whereas like this, we're saying if you muzzle the worker, you may be over on an essay at most, because you prevented him from eating, but you're not over on a loises. Well, Taka, why not? And the answer is, amakra, kinafshacha, because we said before, we learned from the word kinafshacha, kinafshachapoil. You, the worker, is just like you, manafshe and chasamte potter, just like yourself. If you want to prevent yourself from eating, you can. Afpoil and chasamte potter, the same way if you prevent the worker from eating, you're potter. So therefore, so we can see that there's no lav involved in preventing a worker from eating. So now, once we have that, then we can make a kavachomer. So we're saying then that the worker, now the question is though, so we tried to make a kavachomer, if a shur is able to eat from tolosh, then a worker should also be able to, but we're saying no, I'm sure you have a mitzvah not to muzzle it. A person was saying there's no such mitzvah, and we showed how we know there's no such mitzvah. So we're back to then, we've shlugged up the kavachomer. So the Ella Odom Batolish Manolon. So where do we know that a human worker is allowed to eat from what is detached from the ground, what was previously detached, and now is working on it at a later stage of its processing? The answer is Omakura Koma Koma Beis Pamim, because the Pasuk says twice the word koma, the standing grain or the standing produce. And the Pasuk finishes off the Chemish Lysonif Al Komasreach. So twice in the Pasuk it says the word komas. Therefore, since you don't need the second one to teach us that a person is allowed to eat from something that's attached from the ground, because you already have that from the previous, from the first comma, therefore you can apply it so that he's allowed to eat from something detached, even though something detached is no longer comma, but the extra word comma teaches us just that, that you're allowed to eat. Okay. Rav Ami says you don't really need a pasuk to tell us that a person should be allowed to eat from something that's detached. Because the pasuk actually says, when you come into your fellow Yid's vineyard, and that means when you're working over there. Now, after all, when you're in his vineyard, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're picking the grapes for him. Could equally well be that you're hired to carry the grapes on your shoulder. And that's already the tolerance. So you have the guy hired a bunch of workers. You have one group of workers who are harvesting the grapes, harvesting the clusters. And now you have your job is to take them from them and carry them to a different point. And nevertheless, on the pasuk is saying that you're allowed to eat. So we see, therefore, automatically, it doesn't specify that you're harvesting the grapes. So therefore, it can just as well be that you're doing some kind of work involving the grapes right there in the vineyard. And therefore, we clearly see that you're allowed to eat from what's already detached by somebody else. What about shurba mechuba menolon? What about to say that an ox should be allowed to eat from what's attached to the ground? Meaning, if you have an ox doing work with something that's still attached to the ground, Kedushim Am Yechosim Loridva gives an example. Let's say you might have the ox threshing. Now it has to be the ox is actually doing the work with the food. So it can't just be, for example, let's say that it's Gmar Malacha, and it has to be that doing something directly with the food. So it can't be, for example, that you just have the ox, let's say that you're harvesting the grain and putting into a wagon that the ox is pulling or something, because then the ox is not doing anything with the tour directly. So rather, the Kedushim Am Yechosim Loridva says, say, for example, you decided to have the ox thresh the grain while it's still attached to the ground. You think to yourself, rather than bothering harvesting it and bundling it and everything, why don't I just cut out a few of the steps and have the ox thresh it right there in the field while it's still attached? So then in that case, how do we know you have to allow the animal to eat from it? Minolam. So the Gemara says, let's try the opposite. Kavachomer me'odam. We'll make a kavachomer from a person. U'ma'odam she'ena uchel betolush. A person who we don't explicitly find in the pasuk that he eats from something detached. We just said before that we don't seem to have a pasuk for it. We said at the end, we said Rav Ami says you do have a pasuk for it, but we'll get back to that. But in any case, on the face of it, there's no pasuk that says explicitly that he can eat from tolush. And yet, Uchel b'machover, but the pasuk clearly says that he eats from what's attached to the ground, that now he's picking. Sure, that's allowed to eat from something detached. And again, sha'uchel b'machover, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that it would be allowed to eat from something that's still attached to the ground? So Tosfos points out, I mean, on the face of it, with both of these kavachomers, we're using an assumption that doesn't seem to be actually true. Because the fact is, in the end, we do learn that the other one is allowed to eat from Tolosh and Mechuba, respectively. Why didn't the Gemara start off with the Kavachomer, for example, that, and in the first case, say, for example, you don't have a mitzvah to keep it alive. And the second one, say, a person who you don't have a mitzvah to not muzzle him. But Tosfos says the Gemara preferred to try to make a Kavachomer using the eating itself, because after all, that's what we're trying to deal with over here. Anyway, so the Gemara says, Mala Odom Shekenach Mitzvah Lachiyosei. You have the opposite problem, as you said before. A fellow Yid, you have a mitzvah that if his life is in danger, you have to save him, or you have to give him tzedakah, etc. You don't have that by an animal. So maybe you should say then that yes, by a person, you have a special mitzvah to allow him to eat from mechuber, not necessarily a shur. Well, the Gemara says, maybe let's argue. You do have a mitzvah to keep a shur alive, based on that same kavachomer. So a fellow yid who's working for you, there's no issur, there's no lab involved in muzzling him on the job, but you have a mitzvah to keep him alive if his life is in danger. Maybe there should be a kavachomer that you do have to help keep an animal alive. Now, of course, you can shecht an animal, but the Tosfos HaRosh explains, let's say, for example, you could have a case of a shur where you're not allowed to shecht it. You have a case, for example, a bechur that got mixed up with a shur on niskal. So the shur on niskal, as we learned from Bava Kamma, is going to be osur to eat even after you shechted it, and the bechur, meanwhile, you can't eat it until it develops a mum. So therefore, like one way or the other, you're not going to be able to shecht this animal, and therefore maybe you would have a mitzvah to help keep it alive if its life is in danger. The chidushim amir chosim maritva gives a different, more straightforward answer. Yeah, of course you're allowed to shecht the shur, but maybe until you want to shecht it, you have a mitzvah to keep it alive. Or for that matter, it could even be talking about, let's say somebody else's shur. You don't have a mitzvah to keep. You can't shecht somebody else's shur unless he sells it to you or gives it to you or whatever. Maybe you'd have a mitzvah, lach yosei, based on this kavachim. The pasuk says no. The Gemara says, oh no, omak kura. The pasuk says in last week's parasha, v'cheya achicha imach, your brother, your fellow yid should live with you. Achicha v'lo shur, only your fellow yid, not a shur. Peter would probably not be very happy with this Gemara. So where do we know then that a shur is allowed to eat from mechuber? If we slugged up the kavachomer because we said maybe a person you have, because a person mitzvah lachiyose, and we've just established that there's never a mitzvah lachiyose by a shur. So we can't use that kavachomer from a person. So where do we know that a shur can eat from mechuber? The answer is, amakro, re'echa re'echa, shtei pamim, twice in the psukim. It says the word re'echa, so again, since you don't need the second one to tell us that a person can eat from a chumr, because we already have, one of them already tells us that, then instead you reuse it to tell us that a shur can eat from a chumr. So you can learn from that that a shur is able to eat the mechuber. The Gemara finishes off. Ravina omaloi odem etolosh loy shur b'mechuber tzrichi kruri. Really, actually, Ravina says you don't need a pasuk for either one, not to tell us that a person can eat from tolosh, and not to tell us that a shur can eat from mechuber. You actually have clear things that you can douch in more directly from the pesukim. Dichtiv loy sachsam shur b'dishoy. The pasuk is saying don't muzzle the ox while threshing. Now, after all, why does the Torah specify only a shur? After all, any kind of animal, the din of chasima applies to. The afin and shur shur from Shabbos. We learn by Gzeira Shava from Shabbos, where it says that if shur chava chamorcha v'chol b'am techa, and we learn from that that any kind of, you can't have any kind of animal work for you on Shabbos. And the same way, any kind of animal that's doing work for you, you're not allowed to muzzle. So the Torah had no reason to even write the word shur in the first place. So the pasuk could have said, don't thresh with muzzling. And we would understand that applies to any animal that you muzzle. Shur de kosu rachmana lamali. So why does it say shur? Means la'akushi choysam l'nechsam, v'nechsam l'choysam. Means it wants to make a hekesh between the choysim, the one who would muzzle the animal, versus the nechsam, and the one who is being muzzled, and nechsam l'choysam. We're making a hekesh back and forth between them. There's a hekesh between a person and between the person and the animal, and back between the animal and the person. Ma choisim oichol b'mechuber, just like the person who would have muzzled the animal is allowed to eat from what's attached to the ground, because the pasuk clearly says so. Af nechsam, the same with the shur, which is the one that the muzzle would be attached to, is the one that is able to eat b'mechuber. Or ma nechsam oichol b'tolosh, and just like the nechsam, the animal is allowed to eat b'tolosh, because the pasuk clearly says v'sachsim shur b'dishay. Af choisim oichol b'tolosh, the same way a person is allowed to eat from tolosh, and therefore we don't need drushes from the psukim. All we need is this one hekesh between the animal and the person, and we can learn the whole concept that both of them are allowed to eat from tolosh, and both of them are allowed to eat from mechuber.